Brethren, now over 300,000 Christians have been slaughtered just since Hussein the Ineligible One fired up his so-called Arab Spring in 2011. Yes, 300,000 since he started his Muslim Spring, equipping and funding and even training his Muslim Brotherhood. And it doesn't make any difference. You're talking Muslim Brotherhood. You're talking Al-Qaeda. You're talking ISIS. You're talking ISIL. It's all the same. It's Sunni jihadists, Wahhabi brand. He is not the president. Every document he has produced to say he's eligible has been proven to be fraud and forgery. Not conspiracy theory. Fact. The jihadi-in-chief says he likes to kill. He's actually been quoted as saying he likes to kill. And he boasts that he's good at it. He should be behind bars. And yet that would mean one of the 435 congressmen, or one of the 100 senators, or one of the 9 Supreme Court justices, or the military joint chiefs would have to have some courage, not be totally compromised. Saints need to know the wonderful things we do now know from having received the fullness of the vision Henry Gruber has been given about the 2 black angels in Rome. Now we can and should walk in the apostolic anointing that the Lord has available, intends for every believer. It is the will of God that every believer have this unction. Apostolic anointing to walk in His power for His glory, binding and loosing, remitting and retaining. Look at the following pure words, the perfect words of God, purified 7 times by the Holy Spirit, that apply to this Antichrist war on the saints. And it was given unto him, the Antichrist, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And they overcame him. Yeah, they overcame the Antichrist by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. We see 2 groups, both groups saints, to be sure. The first group are overcome by the Antichrist, die a martyr's death, quite like the 300,000 of our brethren we have recently witnessed being killed by the Muslim Brotherhood in Syria, Iraq, and other places here in the Middle East. The other group has gone on to perfection. Yes, they have gone on to perfection. They are walking in the apostolic anointing and unction that God would have every believer walk in His power and for His glory, binding and loosing, remitting and retaining. The basics are simple. Everyone has probably heard of them, but very few have heard with the ears of the faith that Abraham manifested. They're simple as 1, 2, 3. 1, God is God. That seems so simple. I tell you, it's deep. You never search that out. But this is the fact and the reality. God is God. God cannot lie. It's the only thing that God cannot do. And God does not change. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. We obey those who have the rule over us, for they must give an account. And we follow only as long as they follow Messiah. If they want to take a path off of the straight and narrow path, we're not going to follow them to hell. Remember, God cannot lie, and God does not change. Without those basics, it will be hopeless for anyone to think they understand what these last days were all about. And you must get your foundational understandings from that God-promised, every word perfect and only Holy Bible, which in English is the KJV. I know the top target of the now over 200 English perversion version Bibles, the top target is to remove the sound doctrine teaching on spiritual warfare and deliverance. Just try to find the test of the spirits in any Bible other than the KJV. You cannot find it. It is not there. It has been removed from all 200 plus version perversion Bibles in the English language. Yes, 1 John 4:1-3. Now, those verses are in the perversion Bibles, but the test of the spirits is not. When you check, you'll always find that every one of them changes is come to has come or did come. So what? The test of the spirits has been removed. He is the I Am, the Eternal One. To say has come, did come, or will come lowers him from his position as the Eternal One, the God of Israel, the I Am, to the status of any common ordinary son of man. It is so subtle, most will not even recognize the test of the spirits has been removed. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Those seven words define the faith of Abraham. They mean that you know that Jesus Christ is God, that you are not so bound with religious spirits, traditions, and false doctrines that you cannot say Jesus Christ, the name by which Yeshua the Messiah is most widely known in this whole world and in all history and literature. Those seven words mean that you know that Jesus Christ is the I Am, the same Eternal One, Echad, Echad, not Yakid. The same Eternal One who was born in Bethlehem, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Yeshua HaMashiach, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is the same I Am who taught Torah to Moses and whose spirit is in truly born-again believers. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh may be true. But it's true like Jim has come in the flesh to write this. And you have come in the flesh to be reading it now. Or hearing it now, as the case may be. Has come, have come, did come, in 1 John 4:2-3. Has come, have come, did come, in 1 John 4:2-3. Eliminates the profession that Jesus is God the Son, and makes him the same as any other person, any other human being, and totally removes the positive statement that he is God the Creator, as well as the Redeemer. It is so subtle that most cannot even see it. But changing that is come to has come, or did come, removes the positive statement that he is God. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And the more you use that simple and only test of the spirits, the more you will be amazed at how powerful that it is. I've never seen a Satanist or anyone heavily bound by spirits not of God who could possibly get it right the first time. The first time. When at the prompting of the Holy Spirit, I asked them, let me hear you say, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Listen carefully. Listen real carefully when they reply. And you see, even if they read it from their Bibles, they cannot get it right. They cannot pass that simple test of the spirits. And that test of the spirits has been removed from all profane Bibles except the one which God promised would be every word perfect. Thank God we've been given to know that we have the Word of God, that we have the Word of God. With the KJV Holy Bible, then, one does not have to worry about all the great and masterful deceptions of the Jesuit goal of subverting the received text. Never forget that Satan is the original Bible corrector. Never forget that. Yea, hath God said? Does that statement build faith? No, that statement destroys faith. Hath God said? Does not build faith. It destroys it. It destroys it with doubt and uncertainty. Alternate renderings are not the Word of God. You can be positive with the very definite article, Holy Bible, the one that God promised according to Psalms 12, 6, and 7. God promised, he bound himself in writing, put it in writing, bound himself by it, that every word would be perfect, inspired by the Holy Ghost, preserved by the Holy Spirit, and purified seven times by the Holy Spirit. You can know, not just think you can know that you have the absolute final authority when you know that you know that you have the Word of God, that you have the Word of God in that KJV, which I like to call the King Jesus Version, Holy Bible. I've been involved in spiritual warfare and deliverance for many years before the Lord sent us here 13 years ago. It was necessary that the great joy and great tribulation oil station work be done here in this place, which the KJV Holy Bible calls Chittim. Lest I forget, let me mention that there is a new tract that has been proven to be very effective, not just on Muslims, but on backslidden Christians. And there's a link to it on the website, and you'll find it in the information on Muslims that's on the website. And it's there in a JPEG format so that you can just copy and paste it into your word processor and then expand it. Change its size to fit the paper, print it on front and back, and on one sheet of paper, then you get a four-page tract that is a very, very effective tract. And it doesn't get much more cost-effective than that, printing front and back on a single sheet of paper and folding it down the middle. The Muslim hunting with Jesus is quite exciting, to say the least. I believe if more time were spent in teaching missionaries the principles and tactics of spiritual warfare, that the missionaries to the Muslim and the Hindu and even the Buddhist, and they're the toughest hard-shell nuts to reach of all, the Buddhists, but missionaries to those countries would be much more effective, I think, than by what they normally do of teaching them language. And they don't know what they really need to know, which is principles and tactics of spiritual warfare. As I think back about many deliverances, which were difficult, requiring much prayer and fasting, sweat and tears, a recent understanding of what the strong man is caused me to believe that many of these difficult deliverances could have been much less difficult by simply binding the strong man first. At the outset, let me tell you that in any future deliverance in which I now may participate, I intend to bind Nephilim spirits. I intend to bind the Kundalini spirit, bind the half-breed or cross-breed spirits first. And that's what I intend to do immediately after dealing with unforgiveness, known sin, and generational curses, another known ground. I think first binding the strong man will greatly reduce the time and difficulty in getting the deliverance done. I think this to be much more specifically what the Lord taught us than what I had known before. Matthew 12:29. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house? Mark 3:27. No man can enter a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Hebrews chapter 6 is where Paul gives us the instruction regarding going on to perfection. May I tell you, there was not a single believer in that 68 AD congregation in the Jerusalem church that did not know they had an apostolic anointing and unction to spread the gospel. Every single one of them knew they all had that unction. that unction that really is necessary to spread the gospel by his power and for his glory, binding and loosing, remitting and retaining. It is the will of God that all believers walk in this apostolic anointing, this apostolic calling and anointing of binding and loosing, remitting and retaining. And there is a sense that all the scriptures have a particular significance to us who must endure to the end of this Antichrist war on the saints. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We are to literally live the book of Revelation. We are to literally live the revelation as his ambassadors, his witnesses, his reapers in the great last day's harvest. However, we as a people group in time, as a people group, the people in our generation have the greatest need for these things that we've been talking about in this little book called Power with Persecution or Comfort with Compromise. We have the greatest need to examine ourselves to see if we be in the faith. We have heard the great lies that keep us away from this apostolic anointing, this unction, so many times. We've heard those lies from so many sources thought to be credible. We've heard those lies over the longest period of time. Why don't you just look seriously and consider seriously what it says in verses 4 through 6 of Hebrews chapter 6. For it is impossible. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, it's impossible to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God. Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. What a description of the so-called modern prophetic movement. We should recognize that in 1 John 4:1, one of the nearly 800 New Testament commandments of the Lord, it's there. It's a commandment of the Lord. There's about 800 commandments in the New Testament. We are commanded to believe not every spirit, but to test the spirits. Testing the spirits is not something we really naturally want to do. We don't like to do it. Nobody likes to do it. I don't like to do it. You don't either. We all would rather believe that all of our spiritual experiences are of God. Wouldn't we rather believe that? Huh? Sure we would. But the Holy Spirit is never threatened by the tests of the spirits. The Holy Spirit commands that we test the spirits. The vast majority of spiritual experiences are not of God. Are the Muslim spiritual experiences of God? They have spiritual experiences. Are Hindu spiritual experiences of God? I don't think so. Are Buddhist spiritual experiences of God? Are occult spiritual experiences of God? Are New Age spiritual experiences of God? Are Oprah Winfrey's spiritual experiences of God? Are Freemason spiritual experiences of God? Are Antichrist spiritual experiences of God? Are satanic spiritual experiences of God? No, they are not of God. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The mystical model of Christianity in these last days of strong delusion and great apostasy has replaced the biblical model. So-called ministers are idolized and even worshiped because they give spiritual experiences that are not of God. Many who would claim to be Christians are not of God. Many who would claim to be Christians are not. Many so-called Christian ministers promote a mystical model of Christianity that is not of God. The mystical model is based only upon two things, rather than the three things in historic Christianity. The mystical model has only the spirit and one's human spirit. Few today realize that the spirit transmitted is called the Holy Spirit by Hindus and Buddhists. Oh yeah, they call the spirit that is transmitted within Hindu temples and Buddhist temples, they call it the Holy Spirit, as well as the Christian. Yeah, same thing. They call it the same thing. The spirit in the mystical model of Christianity is not of God. The biblical model of Christianity is based upon the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the renewed, regenerated mind of man. Three things: the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the renewed, regenerated mind of man. And true faith says, I only accept and believe what is based upon God's written Word. The only faith that is of God is measured by its determination to do what God said just because God said so. There really is no place for the Word of God in the mystical model of Christianity. It's not Christianity. But rather, the mystical model is Christian occultism. Only believers who know they have this apostolic anointing and unction from the Lord will biblically go on to perfection. These saints represent a real threat to the devils. And the power and authority which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to every believer is denied when people receive certain lies that are generally accepted as being true. That leaves nothing left but a form of godliness which denies the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Did you catch that New Testament commandment? From such turn away. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Brethren, it's time we realize that there are only two kinds of people in the world, believers and unbelievers. Believers cast out devils and are constantly on guard to keep them cast out of themselves and others and keep them out. Unbelievers do not. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which to them is an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Pray peace in Jerusalem. Pray Psalm 83 every day. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah.